Let's see, this afternoon we will be in the book of Matthew. We'll be in the book of Matthew. And Brother Vance, when y'all have that revival, be sure to let us know, because I always tell Brother Tom, and since he's retired now, he's able to go to these meetings and stuff, and he writes them down in his little calendar. We're going to be here and here and here. And so y'all be sure to let us know when you have your revival. We'll try to make it over here. Matthew chapter 11. We're not preaching on motorcycles, brothers. So don't worry. Matthew chapter 11. I want to talk about a subject which affects each of us. And it's one which I think is very natural to us as people. But it's one which is still hard for us as Christians, and it's the subject of doubt, doubting Christ. And I want to see that here in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11, begin in verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bow in your presence today, and we just thank you for this day you give. And thank you for the food, Lord. We pray you just bless the ladies. They prepared it. Lord, we just thank you for the good fellowship we had. Thank you for time to come out and to study your word, Lord. Father, we thank you for the good reports we're hearing from Sister Dora concerning her treatments, and we just pray you continue to strengthen her and bless her and lift her up. And God, we thank you for all that have prayed for her and those at the church here, Lord, for everything they've done while Brother Vance has had to take care of her. Lord, we just pray you continue to bless the church here and bless the people. And thank you, Lord, for them. Father, we ask for forgiveness now where we fail you. Pray you bless the teaching and preaching today. May Christ be exalted, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Doubt, here we see from John the Baptist. We see John the Baptist here, and he's in prison, the Bible tells us in verse 2. And when he hears of Christ, he sends his disciples, and he sends this message to Jesus. "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" You say, wow, John the Baptist doubting Jesus. But you know something, that's something that I think each of us have done at one point in time or another. You show me the greatest Christian you possibly know, and I'll show you a person who's doubted Christ at one point or another. In the midst of trials and struggles and in the midst of difficult circumstances, it's easy for us in our flesh to doubt the Lord. Despite the fact that He has saved us, despite the fact that He has shown Himself time and time again good and merciful and gracious, despite the fact that He tells us in His Word, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," despite the fact He tells us in His Word, "I have loved thee with an everlasting love," despite the fact that we have verses like Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd," we still have moments of doubt. John here had a moment of doubt. He says to Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" That's from John the Baptist. I want to see John's circumstance, why he was in prison in the first place. Turn over to Matthew chapter 14, and it kind of gives us a little background. Matthew, of course, was, before he became Matthew, he was Levi, the tax collector. He was a Jew, and many of the old Jewish writings, one thing they would do, they would talk about a subject, and then they would kind of go and focus on another subject, and then kind of come back and talk about the subject they were talking about before. And that's what we see here in the writing of Matthew. He's talking about John the Baptist, and then he goes and begins to talk about Christ and some of the things which Jesus is talking about. And then he gets back to Matthew 14 and talks again about John the Baptist. It says in verse 1, "At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard the fame of Jesus and said unto his servants, 'This is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him.' For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, 'It is not lawful for thee to have her.' And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, whereupon he promised with an oath to give whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, 'Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger.' And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake of them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given unto her." Now we see this passage of Scripture, what takes place. John the Baptist had preached against Herod and the situation he was in with his sister-in-law, his brother Philip's wife. He wanted her as his own, so he took her and he made her his own wife. And John said, "It's not lawful for you to have her. This isn't right. This shouldn't be going on. You're committing sin. You're committing adultery." And then, of course, when Herod's birthday was kept, Herodias' wife's daughter danced before Herod. And he was so enthralled by her dancing, he said, "I'm going to give you whatever you want. Anything you ask me, I'll get it for you." And, of course, his mother, being the other prognosticator there in the situation, or being the other person there in the situation, she wanted John the Baptist dead. And she told her daughter to ask for John the Baptist's head. So the young girl, she goes there and says, "Give me John the Baptist's head in a charger." And it said the king was sorry, but he had already made this oath. And when the king says he's going to do something, the king has to stand by that. And so he gave her John the Baptist's head. That's what, up until verse 9, between verses 9 and 10, we have our text back in Matthew chapter 11. But in verse 10 it says, he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Now while John is there in the prison, of course, he reaches this situation here. He's there for preaching the Word of God. He's there for teaching the truth. He's there because he has obeyed God's Word, and he's preached God's Word, and now he's here in prison. He's suffering as a result of following after God's law, as following after the teachings of Almighty God. And how would you feel if you were living for the Lord, doing what you're doing, every single thing God had asked of you, and it caused you to end up in prison? You'd probably be a little down and out too, wouldn't you? You'd probably be a little bit discouraged too. You'd probably be doubting God's goodness. "God, I did this. I was living for you. I was doing my best for you, and now here I am in prison, teaching and preaching Christ." And he says to Jesus, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Let's go over to John chapter 1 for a second. I want to see the faith of John. I want to see John before all this debacle took place, all this craziness began to take place. Let's see what happens. Let's see how John began his ministry. John chapter 1, verse 25. Here we see a John who's not discouraged at all. Here we see a John who's very much emboldened by the preaching that he's been instructed to preach. Here we see a man who has every bit of faith in the Lord, and he preaches it as so. It says in John chapter 1, verse 25, "And they asked him and said unto him, 'Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither the prophet?' John answered them, saying, 'I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose.' These things were done in Bethsaida beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus cometh unto him, and he says, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Which it says, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. You see, John understood the Scriptures. He understood that he was the voice crying in the wilderness. He understood that he was the one who was to make the way for the Lord to come. He knew his commission there. He knew why he was there in the wilderness baptizing, because he wasn't the light, as it says in John 1. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. And what happens when that light makes its way on the scene? He says, Here it is. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And now he's in prison. And he says, Are you really the one? I think many good men have become discouraged. Many men who have been emboldened by the Word of God. Many men who have been, their hearts have just been lifted and encouraged to unknown heights of faith, have also known many deep valleys and many trials and many struggles. And it's in those times of trial and struggle they say, Is this really what the Lord has for me? Is this really what God wants for me? John had had his own disciples. John had had his own followers. John had his own ministry. He had people coming out to him, and he was a quite respected fella. And now here he was in prison, and he's saying, Is this really it? He says, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And you know, Jesus says some things here to John by way of his messengers. And I think these are absolutely precious. Jesus answered, verse 4, and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do see, which ye do hear and see. Excuse me. Show him again. Folks, that's the remedy right there. If you have doubt, the remedy is to go look again. The remedy is to go here again. I never understand why people, when they begin to doubt God, when they begin to go through trials and circumstances, they get out of church. And just go away from it. Folks, church is the place we need to be when we're having doubts and fears and trials and struggles. You say, I'm going through this situation and I just don't think church can help me. Folks, church is the best place to be. That's where you get to hear the Word of God preached. That's where you get to hear again the things which John got to see and hear. What did Jesus say? The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Is Jesus the one who was to come? He was the one who was able to cause the blind to see. He was one who was able to cause the lame to walk. He was one who was able to cleanse the lepers and raise the dead and all these sorts of things. Do you think he's the one who's to come? John was probably thinking, yeah, he's the one. I find it interesting here in verse 5. Jesus quotes three different places, and if you're a note taker, I encourage you to write these places down. I'll give them to you here and I'll go a little slow. First is Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18. Write this down. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 18. The second is Isaiah chapter 35, verses 4 to 6. And then there's the interesting one, which Jesus quotes, but he doesn't give all of. It's Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7. And he quotes from those three places, but in Isaiah 42, verse 7, he doesn't mention this one. Also, to bring out the prisoners from prison. He doesn't give that one to John. He says, yes, the blind receive their sight. Yes, the lame are walking. Yes, the lepers are cleansed. Yes, the deaf hear. The blind receive their sight. But he doesn't mention the prisoners being brought out of prison. And you know, I think John probably got that. I think John probably understood that. You see, Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and he prayed to God that God would take that thing from him. And you know what God's answer was? My grace is sufficient for thee. You don't need a thorn taken out of your flesh. You need my grace. I guarantee John was sitting there praying, oh God, get me out of here. God, help me. God, get me out of this place. Lord, I'm not supposed to be here. Lord, this isn't what you want for. Lord, get me out of this prison. And Jesus says, the blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. But John, you got to stay here in prison. This is what the Lord has for you. He says in verse 6, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Are you offended in Christ at your situation? Has God brought you into a place in your life where you doubt and you don't know what's taking, you don't know what God is doing? Blessed is he who shall not be offended in me, Christ says. Help us not to be offended in Christ. Help us to just trust Him. Folks, that's what truly shows faith. It's not dressing up in a suit and tie on Sunday mornings. That's not what really shows God our faith. Yes, it's nice to come to church and to have fellowship and get dressed up and all those sorts of things. That's nice. But that's not what faith is about. Faith is being about being in those low places in life and still saying, God, you're good. God, you're so good. It says in verse 7, as they departed, Jesus told them these things, said, go back and tell John these things. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? That's probably where John was at that moment. If you went down and visited in prison, he probably was a reed shaking in the wind. Probably sitting down there in the corner, just absolutely out of his mind, not knowing what was going on. At that particular moment, that's probably exactly what he was. What went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaking with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? He says, behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, Christ says, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Notice he didn't say that to John's disciples. He didn't say to John's disciples, remember who you are, John. Just think about who you are. Just remember who you are. Just remember that you're that one that was prophesied about. Jesus didn't say that to him. Oh no, Jesus said, think about me, John. Think about what I've done. You know, when you and I are to go through trials in our life, the last thing that God wants us to think about is our own goodness. And, oh God, oh, I served you and I did it, and I gave my tithes to the church and I was an encourager and I was doing all this, and this is what you put me through, Lord. John could have had a pity party. To a certain extent, I think he might have had a little bit of a pity party. But what did Jesus do to encourage John? He says, remember me, John. Remember, think again about those things which I've done. Think about what you've heard and seen me do. The blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, all these sorts of things. Think about what Christ has done. Where are you at today? Are you in a place of discouragement? Are you in a place of despair? Are you in a place of hopelessness? Think again about what Jesus did for you. Say, Brother Greg, what did he do? He died at Calvary for your sins. He gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. He died, was buried, and he arose again the third day for you. Think again about those things. He says, what, did you go out to see a prophet? And Christ says, John doesn't know I'm saying this, but yeah, you went out to see a prophet. Not just that, but more than a prophet. He says, for this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And notice what Jesus says. John, that old dog down in prison, doubting me. No, what does Jesus say? He says, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Amen. You want to see it? You want to show me the greatest Christian you know, and I'll show you a person who's doubted God at one point or another. Doubt affects each of us, folks. If doubt can affect John the Baptist, then doubt can surely affect me, and it can surely affect you. Jesus said there wasn't a greater one born among John the Baptist. Of all the men I know, Jesus said, there's not been a greater than John the Baptist. And yet here he is, doubting, in prison. He says, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. Jesus was saying this one was preaching in the spirit of Elijah. Think about what Elijah did. What did he do? He preached against against an evil king there in Israel. He preached against sin. He preached against all the wickedness that was going on, all the idolatry that was going on in Israel. John the Baptist did the same thing. He was preaching against sin, preaching against the wicked Pharisees during this time. Those who wanted to idolize them, their own selves, John preached against them. And he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let me ask you today, or have you doubted God? And I want to speak to you especially if you are in a place of doubt right now, no matter what you're going through. Have you doubted God's goodness and grace and mercy to you? Just remember, we're all those of us who are saved are prone to doubt God at one time or another. But just remember, Christ died for you. Think about that. Christ died for you. Is God good to you? Christ died for you. Does the Lord really love me? Christ died for you. Folks, if we have Jesus, if we have the crucified Savior as our Lord and Savior of our life, folks, we have everything. We should have there should be no reason why we doubt God, but because of our own flesh, because of our own sinfulness, when we come into hard times, we're very much prone to it. But just remember, Christ died for you. He loves you. He gave His life on the Calvary's cross for you. And remember Him. Remember what He did for you. God bless you all. I pray this message has been an encouragement to you. And in whatever doubts you are going through, please don't get out of church. Amen. Keep staying under the preaching of the Word. If you're going through something, seek out Brother Vance or one of these people in the church to just be an encouragement to you, and just pray to God and ask for His guidance and will in your life. He'll surely help you. Father, we bow in Your